The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting college football bowl games, good luck. No, seriously, it's never been harder. And you don't want to be hurting your bankroll. You want to make sure you're doing your homework. Listen to Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I will be breaking down every single bowl game, dropping new episodes nearly every day throughout college football's postseason. Spicing things up with a 12-team playoff. Can't wait to see some of those teams from the South come up north for the snow. Be sure to subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score.
We are going to get a Bears hit. One word from Mark Grody.
You guys want to hear the next one?
Are
you guys
ready? I sure do.
DJ Moore after the game about the end of this game.
You're just like, what the hell? Not like what the bleep. We keep coming back in these games and be having time to actually win the game and we just a bit.
My goodness. That euphemism, I adore that euphemism. Anybody who's listened to me for years and anywhere, I say crapped the bed a lot.
We just a bit.
Because it's the bed, man. It's not just that you crapped it. It's just, that's where you sleep.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of things have to now happen for you to get to sleep that night.
Did I ever tell you about the time Rasky was in a production of The K&I? Every morning I crap the bed. Anyway.
A lot of logistical things now need to happen. You've damaged the bed.
Do you guys remember the last time you crapped the bed, like when you were sick?
I shit my pants last night. I did. I'm good twice a year for that. When was the last time you shit your pants? Yeah. It's been a while.
I was like 12.
Really?
The last time it happened to me.
I don't think I've ever.
No?
Yeah, I've never.
Yeah, good for you.
Oh, Speaks?
Yeah.
There's a photograph of the bed. Our bed, and on my side of the bed, was human fecal matter. So I understood why it wasn't a good time to go down there. It was so outside, it was so bizarre, and so grotesque. That I could only laugh.
We just f***ed a bit.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
There's a reason why Chris Tannehill is the best at what he does.
You got it yesterday, Lawrence. As soon as I said that was such a great, you know, phrase, not really euphemism, it's actually exactly what it pretends to be. But your immediate response was, yeah, when that happens, you got to do a lot of stuff.
It's a lot of stuff that has to happen. You got to make some decisions, man.
You got to make some big decisions.
Are the sheets worth saving? Or should they immediately be thrown out?
It's a lot of laundry issues. Will there ever be sleep again?
You got to check to see if there's anything going on underneath.
Oh, man. You might have mattress decisions to make.
You might have some real decisions to make.
And it's your bed, man.
It's where you sleep.
Oh, God. It's
not where you're supposed to.
No, it's not where you're supposed to.
So you got some decisions to make.
And the fact that the Bears did that, well, it just doesn't reflect well on anyone.
And also, it's not great when someone else does it to your bed, as Johnny Depp was trying to explain to you.
It was
Unless you were in agreement that is how, because we don't kink shame show.
I'm glad we don't. I'm proud.
That's one of the tenets of this show, that we do not kink shame. As long as everyone is okay with it, you do you, as long as no one gets hurt and it's not illegal and everyone is okay, then you do it.
I think we're going to bond as well because you used the word rubric today when trying to figure out how to talk about where we're going to start. But, you know, you tell people what's going on and then we can start with where we're going to start.
Yes, Tanny is back from an incredible vacation, which we will hear about later on. Shane is, of course, here handling things as our EP. That man is Matt Spiegel. I am Lawrence Holmes, and we've got you until 6 o'clock tonight.
We do indeed. Look, when we started to imagine Thomas Brown going from offensive coordinator and play caller in the booth to head coach and play caller on the field, we began to imagine just how difficult of an ask that will be. And the song Saber Dance came to mind, used famously in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. And used anytime people bring out the baked Alaska after the wedding at the Drake Hotel. Used for the plate spinner on the Tonight Show. We're seeing Thomas Brown.
Red Panda.
Red Panda as well. Got the red challenge flag in the sock.
Also the self-loving bear on Conan. Remember that?
That's true. That's true. He did. Yes.
He used Saber Dance.
He's definitely spinning plates.
Whatever it takes, man. There's no judgment. No kink shaming.
No kink shame on Spiegel at home.
Self-loving
we
bear.
Could.
I mean.
No. We don't do that.
Do you have suggestions for kinks
Shane,
we should shame?
Let people do their thing, man.
If this song gets you going, I'm shaming that.
Don't well, shame people dude, for that.
Did to the bear on Conan.
It worked for that bear. Maybe it'll work for these bears. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. See, remember how Ryan Poles categorizes different athletic prospects by putting them as different bears? Like, oh, that guy, he's a grizzly. This one's a polar bear. This one's a panda.
This
how about
one's
this
a self-loving bear.
Who's in there? Velas? Oh,
well, he's no longer a bear.
I know.
No
I,
longer
now I feel
a...
bad.
Which species of bear do you think has the highest sex drive?
So... definitely the self-loving one.
Well, wait, are there
that's
any,
why he has to do it.
Are there any bears that don't hibernate? I don't know the answer to
polar,
that.
Right? And panda. I don't think panda bears are polar bears.
Because I would imagine that you have to kind of cut off like 4 months of drive
Ooh,
for
man.
Anyone that hibernates.
That's
so,
tough. I don't like going 4 months.
Yeah, if you can help it, you know, it's.
I mean, no matter how bad the fight is, 4 months is too long.
That seems like a punishment.
Yeah. I nailed that. Polar and panda.
Nice job,
wow,
Shane.
How about that? Guys.
Which that you never know what bit of life's knowledge is going to come up as a sports talk show host or producer. You just never know.
How about that?
Yes, so, very important.
So that's the music that we're imagining as Thomas Brown tries to figure out how to be a head coach on the fly. Dave Wanstead this morning in a wonderful conversation talking about how Thomas Brown has to figure all this out. He gave us a different musical reference.
If I'm talking to Thomas Brown, I'm going to say, hey, we got to be a smooth operation, and we got to be organized, and it starts with me and ends with me.
So
we all got to be on the same page with that, guys, or we're all going to get fired. So, you know, that's the first thing I would address, smooth operation.
No need to ask, he's a smooth operator.
So that's what it's got to look like. That's what it's got to feel like. So as we, as a show and a Bears fan base, dissect Thomas Brown over these next 5 weeks. We want more smooth operator than we do saber dance.
And just for clarification, the woman who is the lead singer of the group Sade is named Helen. The band is called Sade. When the band does not have Sade, the name of the group is Sweetback. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
Really?
Yes.
So didn't she put out solo albums under the name Sade, or is
no,
that
that's
the band
that's
Sade?
The band.
Yeah, I never knew that.
Her name is Helen Fola Sade Adu, but the band is called Sade.
Okay.
Her name is Helen.
See?
I will die on that
hill. Well, I don't think you need to.
Die on it.
But now we know. So you use the word rubric for how we judge Thomas Brown. We got to figure out how to talk about that and how to dissect him, because he is the first name that goes on the folder and the first bio that we print out and put in the Bears prospective head coaches folder. He is, the Belichick discussion in transition aside, all we can say right now is that this guy's the interim head coach, and we assume a viable candidate, or we at least hope a viable candidate by the season's end.
Why don't we do this? Let's take a break and let's keep discussing it further and then add in some ammunition on if you are a Thomas Brown fan, there are other people who agree with you about being a Thomas Brown fan. We'll share who next. Spiegel and Holmes with you till 6 on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes show flashback.
We got to break in real quick with some breaking news that Matt Eberflus has been fired.
Oh my gosh.
And this according to Tom Pelissero of the NFL Network.
Paulie, let me take a break for you real quick. We have breaking news right now on 670 The Score.
Oh, are they excited? Is that Tyler Farringle shrieking in the background?
That's Mitch.
Oh, it's Mitch.
Yeah, that's Mitch.
Oh, boy.
Alex Kuhn breaking the news. Gabe Ramirez reacting to the news. It's a lot of stuff going on there. It's a Spiegel and Holmes show. He's Spiegel. I'm Holmes. We got you until 6 o'clock. And we are talking about Thomas Brown. And you know, I felt like I had to pull out the sword and the shield today. Stop you guys from moving on from Thomas Brown. I'd like to see if Thomas Brown. You too, fella. Yeah, I'm looking at you, Shane. Mister, he's going to be the next head coach.
He is.
But then you're like, let's talk about someone else.
I said let's build a list of possible candidates. I still think it's him.
Can we find out if this man can coach?
Can
we let him coach one game? Can we let him coach one game?
I saw he did in Carolina. I saw that.
You did? You were the only one. You're the only one.
Look, Shane's not alone, though. The world is racing to compile lists and make allusions to possible Bears head coaches. Hell, I did it in transition.
You sure did. Because you couldn't wait.
Because the mind reels a little bit on the Belichick thing. Because it checks a lot of boxes. Not all the good ones, but it checks a few boxes, and it's fascinating to me. But, you know, I'm with you on Thomas Brown. I think he's a very worthy dude as a leader and a commander of the room. From all the people we talked to, and Lance Briggs is one of them at 3 o'clock, we're going to talk to about the strength that you need in that guy. What Jalen Johnson said to us yesterday, and we've picked out a couple pieces from Jalen to bring back to you at some point today during the show. Thomas Brown deserves to be a viable head candidate. And I ended up siding with you in the pre-show fistfight. Wait, some other people call it that. In the pre-show meeting. Because let's focus on what we have. Let's work with what we have. And what we have is a 5-game sample by which to see if Thomas Brown is more smooth operator than he is plate spinner.
Yeah, and trying to figure out what that even means. Like, how will we go about it? What's the rubric? Like, what are the things that we're hoping to find out that will impress us or say, okay, we know that he can't do blank. I also think it's really tough to get a sense of it when the guy isn't implementing his own stuff. That's the really hard part, that you're coming in and you have to kind of work off of the template that Eberflus left and try to make subtle improvements while trying to get ready to coach a game.
Well, what are we going to hold Thomas Brown accountable for? Use of timeouts. I'm putting a list together. Clock management in general.
Offensive strategy.
Offensive game plan and strategy.
And that there are no backward movements with him being head coach instead of being offensive coordinator.
Oh, boy. So regression on offensive progress that we've seen. That's a lot already. How about use of challenges?
I like that.
Right? Use of and decision on when to challenge. And this doesn't have to be complete right now. I'll keep this list going as we go.
It's a working document.
Yes, it is.
That people can add for us. I think that one of the things he's already proven, but let's see how it works as a head coach, the accountability when at the microphone I think is significant, but let's see. How does that work when you're the head coach? Does it change the way that you try to message?
There is a backdrop to Thomas Brown, head coaching candidate, that has existed since his name came up in offensive coordinator interviews last January. And that's that he has been molded by his friend, Sean McVay, for years. He was named an associate head coach while working with McVay. McVay went and sought him out as a former high school rival and talk to him about his future as a coach. And everywhere he's gone, he's bounced around. And McVay made him a tight ends coach, which is a precursor to offensive coordinator on the McVay tree. Sean McVay really believes in Thomas Brown. So he was asked about Thomas Brown on Friday after he was named the interim Bears head coach. And we thought it important that you hear Sean McVay about his friend, Thomas Brown.
He's always been a guy that's had incredible command. He's been a great competitor. He kind of demands respect from people that he's around just by the way that he carries himself. Anytime these things come up, and I think even Thomas did a great job of handling it when he got the opportunity to be the OC. He's done a great job, obviously. But it's unique in which the circumstances have come about, but he's going to attack it. I think guys will follow his lead. But in this profession, you know, you just have such an appreciation for how challenging it is, how difficult, how volatile. And I think he's going to do a great job. You know, I know I would imagine if he hasn't already done a press conference, the way that he would, in such a classy way that he would handle it. You know, these aren't necessarily the circumstances that you wanted to occur. I know how much respect he has for Coach Eberflus, but you guys have heard me talk about him. You know, we got a chance to work together for a few years, but I got a chance to compete against him. And there's just certain people when you watch, you're like, man, they're a little different. In terms of the competitiveness, the spirit, the never say die attitude, and then just his overall presence in general is impressive. You know, like I said, I think the good way to articulate it, he commands respect by the way he handles himself and he gives it back. And so I've always thought he was a guy that would be a head coach at some point. You know, I think you guys will be impressed, not necessarily impressed. I mean, you know how good of a coach he is and good of a leader, and happy for him for the opportunity. You know, it's unfortunate the circumstances at which you're getting that. What I do know about Thomas is there's good processes and procedures in place there. He's always been a guy, when he was the assistant head coach here, that was so thoughtful about, hey, being totally present in the role that you have, while also having an eye on, hey, how would I do this if the opportunity arose? How would I, whether it's calling plays or how would I be a head coach and different things? And I think one of the things that we've tried to do that, you know, we do take pride in here is you open the doors up so that you can see exactly how we want to handle it. And you're accountable for when there's mistakes on my end. But then you also say, all right, here's some things that have worked out in our favor. Here's the processes and procedures and kind of the, you know, the organizational structure at which we get to these decisions. And then, you know, the handling of game day, I think, is something that, you know, you decide as a head coach, all right, which responsibilities do you want to have? And then, you know, where is that threshold of making sure that you use the surrounding parts around you? And that's always evolving, but I think he'll do a great job with that.
That's one of the best coaches in the NFL. Up until, was it last year, he was the youngest head coach in the NFL, spent a long time as the youngest head coach in the NFL, and a guy who has molded a ton of head coaches out there who believes in his friend Thomas Brown.
It's like the lawyer that is on partner track. It's like the professor that comes in that's on tenure track. He's been identified as a guy that can do this. Now, whether he's ready for it right now is another question. And those are the things we're going to try to figure out. And I think it's difficult to figure it out in a five-game sample, but I'm rooting for him. And I hope that some of this stuff that he's learned working under McVay and with all the great coaches that he's worked, and some of the bad coaches that he's worked with too, that he can take from that and build something for himself.
Here's what we've got so far. Offensive game plan and strategy. Regression on offensive progress to this point. Usage of timeouts, clock management.
A texter added something I think we should put in there.
Agreed.
Ability to make in-game adjustments, not just halftime adjustments, but drive to drive. I like that.
I like that a lot because we've seen halftime adjustments, but come on now, you're the head coach and the OC. You should be able to make some in-game adjustments. Love it. So in-game adjustments, clock management, usage of timeouts, usage of challenges. Those are tangible things we can look at. Must get players to buy in, says a texter. I think he's got that. That's part of what we've seen already and the way that they're all talking about him. And we will see. But, like, they're hyped for him. Players on both sides are hyped for Thomas Brown to get this chance. That's part of why it's happening. So, you know, some of that, like the basics of human communication and leadership, he seems to have that stuff. So that's why we got to look at all the other things and judge tangibly what we can.
Let's get Lance Briggs' thoughts on it. He joins us next. Spiegel and Holmes here with you till 6 on The Score.